Jerry Bader Show, 10:06. Even 15% of people who say they have no religion admit that they have prayed for their football team. Even people who don't believe in God. So there are no atheists in foxholes nor family rooms Sunday afternoons. Have I ever prayed for the Packers? Gosh, I think the answer is no. I'm pretty sure the answer is no. Now, I may have folded my hands in what looks like prayer. I may have done that. But no, really? Mike is trying to get through, but the lines are busy? Okay. Lines aren't busy. I don't know. Anyway, we're trying to get Mike McFeely. We debate the issues of the day. Mike is a progressive / liberal talk show host, KFGO, in Fargo. Do this when we get the chance. And Mike does join us now. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry. I couldn't get through. You must have the phone lines burning with people yelling in your ear or something, huh?
Actually, I'll tell you what the hot topic was, and I want your 2 cents on it. Wall Street Journal has a piece today that says participation in youth sports, ages 6 to 17, is down. And we were coming up with the theories. Here's the biggest ones. And you know, you've covered sports over the years. One is we don't let kids have recess anymore. You don't see kids climbing trees. Less active kids leads to fewer athletes. You don't see kids just out with their friends playing baseball and football. I can't remember the last time I saw that. That was one of my theories. Another is it's gotten costly and inconvenient for parents. And the third, I think, most popular theory was more and more kids are one-sport athletes these days.
I would agree with all of those, and I would also add that there are more options for kids in terms of non-athletic activities to be a part of, yeah. I think, in today's world, particularly, I guess, for girls maybe more than boys. But even then, I think there are more opportunities. And let's bring in the evil video games, smartphones, yeah. And all those things. I do think that we have less active kids today than we had back in our day, Jerry, when you and I were playing street ball and playing boot hockey and doing all those things. I'm with you. I rarely, if ever these days, see people out playing, kids out playing unorganized sports like we all used to do back in the day. The one thing I do see is I see kids out playing hockey in Fargo and Moorhead because hockey, of course, around here is a big deal. They play in the outdoor rinks, just kind of pickup games. But other than that, it's all so over-organized and over-parented and over-coached that it makes me want to vomit most of the time.
Well, that's actually we got a lot of that attitude from. Well, I took that up and the phones didn't stop ringing. That's exactly what that was. I really think all that is true. In fact, my favorite. I mean, we did this a lot when we were kids. This time of year, not when it was 20 below, but after a snow, we'd play snowball. I mean,
absolutely. You build snow forts and just. Melt each other.
Yeah,
right?
it's absolutely yeah. great. Or even football in the snow. I mean, it was a lot of fun. All right, let's turn to the serious stuff. You should be ecstatic about this. I mean, House Republicans went along for the pork big government ride on this farm bill. I want to read just a little bit of this to you. You remember the Super Bowl spot, Paul Harvey, God Made a Farmer?
Yes, absolutely. Wonderful commercial.
Oh, it was just one of the best Super Bowl spots ever. Kim Strassel has some fun with that. So, God Made a Farm Bill. Let me just read a little bit of this. He said, God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, blah, blah, blah. America ought to be under, and go to Washington and claim that this particular type of hard work is somehow unique in America and ought to be underwritten by the rest of the nation. I need a willing audience for that plea. A group clever enough and self-serving enough to see the electoral profit of standing for Carhartts, wheat fields, and John Deere tractors. So God made a Congress. He said, I need somebody in that Congress savvy enough to realize that farming means food, and food means nutrition, and nutrition means good things to voters. So farming means food stamps. Somebody to call to make that assistance bigger and forever, tame howls of soaring deficits, and plant the seeds of perpetual votes. Somebody to threaten to label anybody pushing for reform as rich, cruel, and downright hateful of happy, corn-fed children playing in the haylofts, and mean it. So God made a Democratic Party. God said, I need somebody willing to spend 5 long years complaining about overspending, big government and special interest giveaways, and get up and vote for $1 trillion in overspending, bigger government, and special interest giveaways in the name of farmers. Then, when reminded of his reform promises, dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. There, of course, she's referring to the Republican Party. You, as long as this is a farm bill, I will say, should be happy as a pig in slop, because this is, even you have got to be ecstatic with this.
Well, no, I'm ecstatic the farm bill was passed. There's no question. We need a farm bill in this nation. We need a strong farm bill. We need a bill that's going to ensure a safety net for the farmers. We need to make sure that those who need nutrition assistance, who need help, we need to make sure that they get it in this country, because we can afford it. We cannot afford to let those people fall through the cracks. I am ecstatic, and I'm ecstatic also that they were able to find some savings, that they were able to find some cuts, they were able to close a loophole, they were able to get rid of direct payments. I'm ecstatic about the Farm Bill, Jerry. This is a great example of bipartisanship. It's a great example of the parties working together and showing the American people that we can support an industry that we actually have a net export plus side on this deal. It's a great American industry, and I'm a great American, Jerry. So how could I not be happy about this farm bill in 2014? You should be happy too.
Oh yeah, I should
great,
be happy.
It's a great compromise.
It's not a great compromise. The English definition of compromise is Republicans bending over. They cowered in fear here, as they always tend to do. 80% of this goes to welfare, Mike. 80%.
If welfare is feeding children, I guess that's okay. I mean, are you still going back to the same old thing, Jerry, that it's we need to split these apart and let them stand on
yes,
their own?
Yes, I mean,
are you going back to that argument again?
Why not?
Because it doesn't work that way, Jerry.
Yes, it does.
The Farm Bill is something that has worked well over the decades. Why can't Republicans get that through their thick skulls? This is not something that is broken. Can we find savings?
Broken.
Can we find efficiencies? Can we do? Yes, we can. Absolutely. But when something works as well as the Farm Bill has for all these decades, and it has ensured a safe food supply, a safe, plentiful food supply, and it's assured that we can be a net exporter of food to the rest of the world and feed them and make money off it, why would we not continue to keep supporting this, Jerry?
How does a Farm Bill that's 80% welfare, and look, the food stamp system is bloated, there's massive abuse, it's not like we need to trim a little fat, there is massive, widespread abuse, we have grown it to include just about damn near everybody during the Obama administration. Those are the things Republicans, look, a safety net, yes, for those who really need it. You don't concede that the food stamp program has grown way beyond that?
No, I don't. No, and I don't believe that there's widespread abuse.
Well, of course you don't.
Is there abuse in anything?
Of course you don't.
Yes, there is. There's abuse on the farm bill, on the ag side of the farm bill. There's abuse. They've tried to close some of that with getting rid of the direct payments, but to single out food stamps and food assistance and, as you say, welfare as this program that's rife with abuse and rife with cheating and, oh, my God, we got to kick these people off of food stamps because then they'll go out and get a job, that's all. It's a misnomer, Jerry. It's wrong. I love the Farm Bill. Wonderful.
Well, yeah, I know you would, because it's a big honking piece of pork. I mean, how could a guy like you absolutely just not love that at all? We only got a couple of minutes. I want to switch to something else. Do you see the first? I need to ask you this before we get into this. Are you an MSNBC progressive liberal or not? Do you like that network? Do you watch MSNBC?
I'll be honest. I watch it some, but for me, it's too East Coast, West Coast, elite, big city liberalism. I'll be honest with you. I watch it some, but I'm not crazy about it. I'm more of a middle of the road guy, believe it or not. At least in this area.
No, I've told you, you're a Fargo liberal. I've told you that. You're not a crazy. Some of my listeners think you are, but you're a crazy.
Thank you. I appreciate that, listeners of Jerry Bader Show.
Yeah, but you're not a Madison or a Berkeley, San Francisco.
No, I
would disagree with that. By the way, if you ever do want to catch Mike, he's on 2 to 5, KFGO.com. Did you see the big hoo-ha over the tweet that MSNBC put out about the Cheerios ad?
I have not. No, I have not.
Okay. Now, to me, it looks like the same ad that was out. Apparently, they're running it in the Super Bowl, and it's the one with the biracial family. You must have heard about. Did you ever hear about that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. apparently that's going to air in the Super Bowl. By the way, I love that ad where the little girl puts the Cheerios on her daddy's heart. It's wonderful. NBC tweets, well, the right wing probably won't like this, but everyone else will. And they actually pulled the tweet. Reince Priebus went nuts, threatened to boycott them. I believe the president of MSNBC has now apologized, and I think they fired the producer. It's going to be hard to call you on this one because it doesn't sound like you're a big fan of them, but they keep doing this race baiting and then apologizing for it. They did the thing where Melissa Harris-Perry made fun, and she did. She made fun of the fact that Mitt Romney has a black grandchild, and then assuming conservatives, now some racists didn't like it the first time around, but that doesn't mean it's all conservatives. This race baiting, and then they apologize for it. To me, I don't think the apologies are sincere. Others have pointed this out. This has become a pattern. It's really more an enabling. Well, we'll just say this stuff, and then we'll apologize for it.
And Jerry, I agree with you that it was wrong for MSNBC to do that. I'm glad to hear that they fired the person who apparently was responsible for it. And yes, I agree, they do try to go down the race baiting road far too often. That ad that came out last year, I think the outcry, if there even was an outcry, was from just deep-seated hardcore racists who don't like to see white people and people of color marrying and mixing together. It felt like it was something out of, you know, the KKK. The people who were opposed or didn't like the commercial. That has nothing to do with conservatism. It has nothing to do with the right wing. It has nothing to do with anything except racism. I thought the commercial was wonderful. You thought the commercial was wonderful. 99.9% of America is okay with a mixed marriage, if that's even the proper term. I'm probably offending somebody by saying that, but it's stupid. And MSNBC, I just saw a poll yesterday by Public Policy Polling showing that MSNBC is one of the least trusted, quote-unquote, news outlets out there, Jerry. I don't consider it a news outlet. I do believe that it's, like I believe Fox News is a flack for the right wing, I believe MSNBC is nothing more than a flack for the left wing. I don't watch it very often, and I don't really trust what I see on there, believe it or not.
So I would argue that MSNBC is way further to the left than Fox News is to the right. You and I will never agree on that, but I wouldn't compare the two. All right, you put me on the spot yesterday. What is your Super Bowl pick?
I have to take, I think you picked the Seahawks yesterday, and I find it difficult to disagree with that. So we're agreeing way too much.
Yeah,
we have to
this
stop
is,
going out for coffee
is,
when we beers yeah. when you're here in Fargo, Jerry. We got to start disliking each other.
Yeah, we got to go back to hating on each other.
The Seahawks, I like the Seahawks' chances. I like the defense. I like what they have going. Nothing against Peyton Manning, nothing against the Broncos, but I see the Seahawks coming out in front in a place where they should never have a Super Bowl ever again in New York City. Not even New York City, New Jersey. What a stupid place for an outdoor Super Bowl.
But are they getting lucky, though, with the weather? I mean,
yeah, put it in Green Bay. If you're going to have an outdoor
absolutely.
If you're going to have an outdoor Super Bowl in the middle of February, put it in Green Bay then. Why not? It's a great football town.
Absolutely. Mike, talk to you next week.
You bet, Jerry. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
You too. Yeah, I'm going to stick with Seattle. But I, unlike Mike, I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't have a strong feeling either way. All right, let's get to the state lawmaker who collected per diem payments for traveling to Madison when she had a suspended license. It's 10:20.